Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I have to let Jamie in. He's banging against the door and crying because I won't let him into the front room.
Yeah, he's got to come in.
I mean, I don't know why you've suddenly decided you're not going to let him in. He has been present during every single record. Is this a different record?
No, because there was no Christmas tree before. And I don't know if you know about kittens and Christmas trees. They're not a great combination.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
So usually when she's in, it's like, timber, and the tree falls, because for her it's a big toy. And I put citrus fruit round, and apparently that's meant to put them off. That kind of did for a day or two. And then I bought a spray, which seems to attract her more than anything. So she's outside now, so I might have to let her in.
Okay, so what do you want us to say, Maureen? Let her in?
Don't know, but...
Don't let her in?
You know what's really funny now? Because I love my tree. So my tree is up there. It looks gorgeous. And I'm basically spending most of my time with my cat in the back bedroom. So no one appreciates the tree apart from people going past the house.
Well, I mean, that's you're offering a public service there, aren't you, Maureen? Maureen, can I... I don't know how close you are to your microphone.
Oh, I'm very close.
You're just quite faint for me. I don't know why.
Oh.
I shouldn't complain. It's only ever a bonus.
Also talking about Jamie, I woke up the other day to find that my bathroom was a sea of cat litter because someone, I'm not accusing anybody, but somebody had bitten through the bottom of a 20-litre bag of cat litter.
Well, it wasn't me. I want to make that really clear.
I told you I wouldn't do it again. I told you only one time.
Was that one time? The inference was strong there, but on this occasion... Nah.
And then Jamie's looking at me as if she's completely innocent and then she starts sweeping it away a bit. You know how they do.
Like, they do that thing where they sort of like they scoot it behind them.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, that's helped.
So I had to clean up. Luckily, I was feeling a lot better by that point. I had to clean up 20, more or less 20 litres of blinking cat litter from the bathroom floor.
Oh God. That. I mean, kittens, the gift that keeps giving, aren't they, really? Joy to the world. The kitten has chewed through the cat litter again. And not urinated in it, but urinated next to it.
No, they were trying to eat it. I mean, you can't shout at them because they don't...
Because they're cats. Don't get it. Yeah. But
do you do the water bottle, the spray thing? That's
no,
what a lot of cat owners do.
I don't do that.
And then eventually you get to the point where you just show the bottle.
Right.
And then they like, no.
No, I've just
don't
put the cat
that.
Litter
don't
in a plastic bag now, in a plastic.
Buy one of those tasers, Maureen. And every time she chews through the cat litter, you just give them a little cheeky tase.
She'll
learn
quick. Yes,
there's a chance of heart failure. But
is that what you do with your kids?
She'll remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's how I taught Danny to make the bed. That it works. It works,
yeah, I mean,
everyone.
I actually got one of those stun poles, you know, the kind of little thing that the police
have. From a distance, yeah.
Yeah, Maureen's coming over for Christmas and I've got it in preparation to like cattle prod her towards the dishwasher after she's eaten.
Off the couch. Off the couch.
Off the couch. The dishwasher's over there.
I won't be allowed to eat on the couch, Alison. There's no way I'm going to be allowed to eat on the couch.
No. Yeah.
That is never going to happen.
No. Well, we you know. The sort of we might allow you to have a quality street or two on the couch, Maureen, but keep it in your mouth.
Chocolate? Oh, and chocolate.
I was in Jersey on Monday.
What?
Yeah.
What were you doing in Jersey?
A gig. And
bloody hell, that's a way to go for a gig.
I know. My plan was obviously to have a look at Jersey. That was the only reason why I said yes.
It's the best time to go.
December when everything's closed. All the tourist attractions are closed.
A small little island in the Channel. Best time to visit. I don't know why I'm giving it a West Country accent. Best time to visit Jersey.
It's in December.
I,
that's often the time that people say, come to this
Channel
island in December.
Anyway, we obviously had an early flight. So basically I actually paid for early check-in and slept. So I never saw anything of Jersey.
Seeing a theme here, Maureen. Most of your trips away or,
yeah,
I don't know, green room experiences.
Is sleeping.
It's just you in a room asleep. With other people asleep. So really living the vida loca, as always.
I fell asleep on the way back.
Did you? This is a surprise to no one.
It's a very short trip.
Fell asleep. Well, but did you enjoy? Did you at least the gig enjoy
was
the gig?
The gig was really nice. Really nice venue. Really looked after you. Really nice food. The food was lovely, and they offered me a pudding. So of course I was in seventh heaven. Sticky toffee, unless you're wondering. Very, very healthy. No sugar. No sugar.
I was talking to Jen.
Sticky toffee.
Sticky toffee. Yep.
With ice cream.
Oh, I'm glad you scratched that itch because I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight not knowing what that pudding was. Maureen. Well, great. So you had a nice sticky toffee pudding, you had a lovely nap, and you went to Jersey and did a gig.
That was it.
What an
exciting week I've had.
What a trick.
And tidying up cat litter.
Well, it's certainly, I don't know, more exciting than my week. I don't know what I've done. I have been to take the car to be serviced. That's something, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I had to go twice because we went once and then they went, oh, something wrong with it. I went, oh, do I have to come back? They were like, yeah, you got to come back. So I had to take it back and then they fixed it. So I really, I don't know, can you beat that, Alison, for a week?
Well, I think I can. I gave her a quick, this is my life right now. I don't know if you can see, I have a higher chair because it's a massaging back chair thing.
Absolute
yeah.
Gadget queen. What's going on there? Where does it massage from and to?
Okay, so it goes up to like close to the upper neck and it goes all the way down and it gets in your lower kind of back.
Oh, is it
area.
One of those very aggressive ones where you feel like somebody hates you or is it no. quite pleasant?
No, it's all right. It's quite pleasant. I mean, it wasn't the most expensive one, so it probably could have more power. It's pretty gentle. But I bought it for my mom 2 years ago and she doesn't want it. And I just saw it sitting there and I was like, I'm going to take that now. Back.
What? You can't take that back to Manchester.
Oh, no, because I can't plug it in. But I mean, by take it back, I mean put it downstairs in my domain.
I see.
Uh-huh. Right. In your
the
little
downstairs
dungeon.
Is my domain. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm slowly building it into my own little flat. So right now I have a microwave. I got an air fryer. All I need is a mini fridge, and I don't even have to go upstairs.
Okay? You absolutely need to get a mini fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just put it outside, couldn't you, in December? Put your stuff.
I suppose so. How cold is it in Calgary at the moment?
Right now, I am very surprised. This is one of the warmest ones we've had. It is 1 degree. It's even like
get
in the minuses. Yeah,
it's itsy bitsy teeny weeny polka dot bikini.
So I did that in Vienna because we had a German woman who used to steal all our food. So I used to, in Vienna, you have like two windows. It's like they're double glazing.
Yes.
And I used to put my food
and
in
used
between.
And to leave it in between.
Yeah. Didn't need a fridge.
Well, something to think about this Christmas when your fridge will inevitably fill up and people won't be able to like, it's a thing, isn't it? This is an actual thing. No one's fridge is big enough for Christmas. Come on.
No. You've
got people coming over. You've got to fill that fridge up with stuff. So take Maureen and Alison's advice. Just leave some of it outside. Obviously don't leave like the turkey outside.
It'll be gone.
The foxes will get it. But, you know, things in a bottle, like your beers and your booze and your...
Booze for sure can stay outside.
Sure.
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff. You can leave it outside. Look, we're listening. We're learning.
Learning.
We're growing. This is what this podcast has offered right from the get-go. And for those of you that have been listening from the beginning, wow, maybe
you
need a medal. Congratulations.
You've learned
and thank
a lot.
You. Well, we all had weeks. I just remembered I did do something and I ought to talk about something I've done because otherwise it's week to week, me just saying nothing. I went to a friend's 50th birthday. How about that?
How was it?
There we go.
Was it good?
It was great. But what occurred, as always, the trains. So it's been a couple of things with the trains. I don't want to keep talking about it, she said.
Talking about it.
But, I look, all the trains at the moment, as we are recording this, are a bit up the spout. So every day this week, the various different train lines are going on strike, but and so don't have any service. And every other train line has a limited service, but will be offering a service. Well, they are offering a service, but it's not a very good service. So anyway, we got halfway to my friend's 50th birthday. And I said to Chloe, did you check to see about trains back? And she said, no. And I said, I think we need to check how we're going to get home. And there were no trains coming back. We could get to London, but we couldn't get home. So it was a very, very dear friend of mine. There was a bit of Chloe and I where we were like, well, we can't, what we're going to do, because we had to get back because of the children. And we paid for a cab.
From London?
To get back. Mm-hmm.
From London to Brighton. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask? I am curious.
And Chloe really, her sphincter was so...
Oh, because yeah, that Chloe would not have enjoyed that, spending that.
No, that, but she... Well,
it wasn't her. No, I knew it'd be you.
It's a bit like when Maureen's like, I can't believe we're spending. I'm like, we're not. I am. So you don't need to worry.
It's one thing me and Chloe have in common.
Yeah, both of you get upset when you're not losing any money. Yeah, but we got a cab back, and do you know what? It was expensive, but it was a lot less than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
It was a lot less.
Yeah,
and yes, it's a ridiculous amount of money, but it was worth it because it was friend's 50th, and I've barely seen her all year, and it just felt like a really shitty thing just to go, do you know what? We can't, because we can't get home. So I was like, let's just sling some money at the wall. We got a cab back, and do you know what? Even at the end, Chloe was like, this is brilliant. We haven't had to worry about when we're going home.
Yeah,
we've slipped straight into a cab.
Yep, dropped at your door.
She fell asleep instantly, woke up. We're at home. She was like, I thought we were still in London. I went, no, babe, we're in Brighton. Ba ba bim, ba ba boom.
Yeah.
But it was a real treat. And I won't be doing it very often. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it felt.
As a one off.
Well, it felt quite luxurious.
Yeah.
I mean, it is luxurious.
Dare I say. Well, it is luxurious, but also it was the only option we had, or obviously we had another option, which was to go home, to get a cab, to go all the way to London and get back on the last train home, which was at 8 o'clock.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yes, but there we are. That's this infrastructure of this country post-Brexit. It's really good. We're floating to the surface.
Yeah, it was a complete success, that Brexit.
Yeah, it really was. Guys, that's our weeks over and done with. So let's head back to Maureen Younger, because she has had yet another moment. It is a Be More Maureen moment, and we want to find out all about it.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
This is an old one, and I don't think I've done it. I just remembered because I was talking to an old friend about it. So I was staying at my friend Mickey's parents, and they're kind of very kind of upper middle class. Everything's done very properly. You know, it's a really beautifully laid out dinner, you know, and all this, and very nicely done. And for some reason, and I couldn't figure out why, my coaster kept falling in my dinner, right? And it would just, all the food would go everywhere. So I remember like a roast potato, that really pissed me off. A roast potato went on the carpet and the dog ate it. And it just kept splashing my food. I couldn't figure out how the coaster kept falling into my food, right?
I do know this one.
And luckily James, who was sitting opposite me, got up. And I hadn't clicked that my glass was so dirty, the coaster was stuck to the bottom of my glass. So every time I drank something, the coaster would then fall off the glass and fall into my food. But I hadn't cottoned that on. So he came up, cleaned the bottom of my glass, and then it didn't happen anymore, basically.
Right. Why was your glass in a very posh person's house so dirty?
I don't know. I must have spilt something.
Right. Okay. Okay. I mean... I'm going to say if that happens once, you're like,
I just couldn't figure out how the coaster got there.
What on earth? You didn't know how the coaster...
No.
But you could see that it was there.
No, I didn't look at the bottom of my glass, did I? I was just drinking.
So you didn't know it was a coaster?
No, I knew it was a coaster, but I didn't realise it was stuck to the bottom of my glass.
You just, every time you looked down, it reappeared in your food.
Got you. Okay. So every time you put your glass down, you picked it up, you're like, what the hell's going on with this coaster? And why does it keep sticking to my glass?
No. But why is it in my food? I didn't realise it was stuck to my glass. I couldn't figure out how the coaster got to the middle of my dinner.
You couldn't figure that out. Wow.
So then you'd pick it up, put it on the table and put your glass back on top of it?
Yeah.
And so then, the food, it would keep sticking. I see.
So what did you think? It was a poltergeist? Or?
There wasn't a lot of thought going on. I just wanted to eat my dinner, didn't I? That's only when he cleaned the glass. Then I realised that that was what was happening, that the coaster was stuck.
Right, okay. Because if you still didn't realise after that, we'd have to have had an intervention. And I don't know who was going to do that. It wouldn't be me, Alison, just to be clear. I don't want to analyze this too much.
No, don't.
Because there's no point. But I do find it strange that when a coaster falls into your food again and again, you don't make the connection that because your glass is on the coaster, and when you pick up the glass, the coaster finds itself magically in your food, that you don't make the A to B connection with that.
No, I didn't make any connection.
No, you didn't make a connection. Okay, fine. Well, let's not analyze. Let's not drill down. Let's accept it. Let's absorb it. Let's move on from it. Maureen, that was a Be More Maureen moment.
Yeah.
It's very much thematically
on brand.
Yes, exactly. It's on brand, and that's what we're here for. And often I'm disappointed when you don't offer me full on-brand Be More Maureen. Today is the day that you have offered that to me. I should be grateful that we've got that. Right, Alison?
Yeah.
But sometimes, more recently, Maureen's been coming to things and we've gone, well,
no, I don't know if that's your fault. Anyone could do that.
I could see how that happened. That does. I mean, that kind of makes sense. Don't, you know. But again, we're back in the room with what the fuck are you talking about? And so I feel like because we were on dangerous ground for a few episodes as we were heading towards Maureen making sense. But boom, the last few episodes, we're back in the room again where she's absolutely batshit. Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. Of course, it makes no sense. Let's never speak of it again.
Okay.
I love the image of your friend watching you. I wonder how long they were like.
It was a few attempts.
Will she figure this out?
No.
Will she? No.
No. No.
It would have been a great video. It would have been
a
great video.
It was such a posh, you know. Like her father was a wing commander in the Second World War. Do you know what I mean?
It's
double barrel name. I
love it.
Everybody in the room knew what was going on.
Apart from me.
Everybody was nudging each other going, what is she doing with that? And fortunately, your friend went, and someone needs to tell her. She's already lost her race potato.
I don't use coasters at home. So, you know, that's your own fault if you're having coasters, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. What were they thinking? They had cutlery. They had coasters.
I'm not bothered with cutlery, am I? Because I'd rather use my hands.
I know. I've seen you eating with your hands, love.
Which is probably why the coaster was sticky. But anyway,
there's that.
Picking up roast potatoes off the floor. Yeah,
I'm not letting the dog have that.
No, the dog was a lot quicker than me, bastard.
Yeah, on this one occasion, but I wouldn't. If a second roast potato fell on the floor, my money would be on you.
It's almost one eighth of the dinner. Get in there. Yeah,
that dog might get you once, but never again. Okay, Maureen, thank you very much for being one more moment. It's time for us to head back to Alison because, as always, her bag full of problems is over. It overfloweth.
It does.
And it is time for all of us to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Okay. This is a good one for this time of year. We're about to all feel a little financial pinch, so I appreciate this problem that was written in. Reminder, I am not a professional therapist. Don't necessarily take my opinions. These are just some ideas to help you get through some problems that you're going through. So How do I deal with someone who keeps owing me money? We've all had this.
Wow, tell Maureen's face.
Yeah. I know. I'm triggering Maureen. Yeah. So I've got a friend that likes I like doing things with, whether it be going out for lunch, watching movies, etc. The thing is, every time we go out and the bill comes, she would say, "Can you pay first and I'll transfer the funds electronically?" I say, "Fine," and I pay. The thing is, she doesn't pay back, or she says she forgets. Eventually, I end up making a list of the things I've paid for. I then chase her every month for it, and it gets awkward because I feel bad chasing, and then the cycle starts again. I understand if she's hard up on cash or having a hard time making ends meet, but I've seen her make unnecessary purchases. I mean, it's her money. She can do whatever she wants with it. But I think it is unfair that she splurges on things she thinks are necessities when I have to chase her every month for payment. I suppose I could let it go by not asking for payment, but I work hard for that money and I've got to pay my bills too. The concerning thing is I am not the only victim. Another friend has come to me to ask if she was doing okay financially. Am I being an arsehole? What should I do? Okay.
No, you're not.
You're not being an arsehole.
You're not being an arsehole. Someone's taking you for an arsehole.
Yeah, someone is doing. So the first thing I'm going to say is, have they ever heard of Apple Pay? I bet you this friend never forgets their phone when they go out. So, you know, maybe it's time to introduce them to the world of Apple Pay. But look, in all honesty, you were like, oh, she makes unnecessary purchases. Have you had a conversation with her asking, is everything okay? Sometimes when people are going through things, they tend to overspend. They're bad with money. So my first thought is, how about having a conversation to see if your friend's doing all right? There might be something else at the heart of it, all right? Maybe she's going through something. Maybe she's struggling with something. I'm just putting that out there. Sometimes when we approach it that way, that is a more delicate way to approach it. Is everything okay? I notice that when we go out a lot, sometimes you know you need me to front, which is fine, and then I'm paying you back, but just want to make sure everything's okay in your life, right? Then you're starting with a concerned friend aspect, all right? So I'm just putting that out there. I think the key thing for this is you got to be honest. When it comes to money, you are going to hold resentment and anger and frustration, and it's going to affect the friendship. So I think honesty is the key. If this is a constant occurrence and your friend has no excuse, just have a sit down with them and say, I can't keep affording to pick up the tab. Like, honesty is the key. If this is a true friend, you can just say, look, I can't keep doing this. I love you with all my heart and soul. I love spending time with you, but it's almost happening every single time. I think have an honest conversation, okay? But if you really can't bring yourself to speak to someone directly about it, because sometimes people can't, here are some alternative ways to maybe get around it, okay? So here's some crafty things I thought about. When you make plans, why don't you start saying that you're in a budget and go, where are we going to go? Great, I looked at the meals, they're about this much. I'm just trying to budget, so I'm just going to bring that much to, you know, so you are discussing ahead of time, all right? That way, when you get there and she shows up and she doesn't have the money, you've already had a pre-discussion about it, right? And you're framing it like you're watching your money. It's not an attack on her, okay? Again, these are passive ways of discussing it if you don't want to go directly. How about instead of meeting at a bar, going out to dinner, how about you do dinners at one another's houses? Hey, can you pick up the groceries on the way over to mine? I'll come to you, pre-discuss. Maybe you each split the groceries, maybe something like that. So you're avoiding doing activities that involve a lot of money. Should we go for a walk in the blah, blah, blah? I don't know, just putting that out there. At a restaurant, ask for separate checks immediately when they come around, and they just be like, no problem. And we'll split these. So you can give me that. And it might be rude, but like, hey, if you can't discuss money with your friend, this is a way of pointing out, I'm not going to keep paying for your side of things. Maybe mention to them, it's their time to treat. Hey, I'd love to go out for dinner. Is it your treat this time? Because I covered last time. Be direct with it. Say it. Let the moocher know right out of the gates that if we're doing this activity, you're paying for it. I will not be paying for it. I think these are some delicate ways that you can broach it, but I think you are getting taken for a bit of a ride, especially if it is with another friend. But again, I always approach it first. Is there something else going on, right? As a concerned friend, I would directly have a conversation about money. But if you can't, those are a few other ways that you can dance around the subject. And if they don't respond well to all this, well, then you know what? Maybe it's time to cut your losses. I don't want to be cruel, but eventually you got to go, is this worth it financially and emotionally? It's stressful. You feel bad doing it every time. So that's my advice. Those are my thoughts. Do you ladies have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think often people rely on the fact that people feel embarrassed asking. Because if you lend money, you know, when you ask for it back, you're always the bitch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you're the bad person. I remember when I was temping once, this girl borrowed money from everyone, including me. And I just went up to her and said, right, I want my money. I'll come with you to the cash point at lunchtime if you like. And she went, oh, no, I'll give it to you this afternoon. And I got my money back. But, you know, I think that's what people, she's probably, and she probably thinks her friend can afford it. You know, people think, well, they've got money. They can afford it. And if she's used to doing that, she gets away with it. She'll just keep on doing it. If the bill comes up, go, oh, no, we'll just pay for our own.
Yeah. And you're doing yourself a favor, because if she doesn't like it and she doesn't want to hang out anymore, no problem. Maybe she doesn't realize how obnoxious this is, and maybe it'll make her think about things twice. But yeah, Maureen, I'm with you. I would just be direct about it, especially if it's happening more than a few times. I mean, look, we've all forgotten our wallets, but there's a point where you're like, come on now.
I mean, who doesn't have their card in numerous other, I mean, yeah, you more have, an aside, but everyone's got their cards on like
on their phone,
Google Pay, or on their phone, or so even if you forget your wallet, if you have your phone with you, you can pay for anything. Mm-hmm. So the very idea that she, oh, I'll backs it to you, well, if you've got the money in your bank account, get your phone out and pay for it
now.
I don't mind paying for people. I absolutely
you don't mind.
You
do a lot, actually.
But, well, I don't mind if they're friends.
I don't either. I absolutely
don't mind, but I will offer to pay.
Yeah.
You know, so I, you know, but if there is an expectation that people go, oh, Jen'll pay, I'm going to go, well.
Actually, I'm not.
Do you know what I mean? No. I don't mind paying, particularly now where I'm in a position where I'm making more money. I remember when I didn't have money, and I didn't have money for most of my life. So I know how that feels, and it's really. Can be very stressful. These situations can be very stressful, going out for dinner, going out for drinks, when you're like, oh my God, check my bank balance. Have I got any money? And so if I'm with my friends, I don't want them to think about that sort of thing. I want them to just enjoy themselves. But equally, I think when you're both in the same boat, why would one person be the person to be expected to pay for everything? It kind of shows a lack of, at best, self-awareness.
Yeah.
And at worst, respect, really, for her friendship and her and the people in her life. And I think it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
I think you just need to, we all just need to be a little bit more aware. And particularly if your friend is dropping hints. Oh, my God. If anyone dropped a hint to me, I would be mortified. I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Did I forget to pay you? Of course, I'll pay you straight away. Yeah. And that does happen, doesn't it? Like sometimes something happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you forget. And you're like, I know I said I'd pay you. I've been so busy. Let me pay you now. But to continually do it over and over again, and then to say that you're going to pay, and then to not pay, and then to turn up again, and then expect you to pay, is kind of like, well, you know.
That sounds like it's her modus operandi. You know what I mean? That's what she does with everyone.
Oh, I love that you said modus operandi. I don't think people say that enough.
It should be said more. Modus op. Is it operandi? Why did I always
was it operandi? I don't know. Modus operandi?
Who knows?
That doesn't sound right either. Modus sounds right. So you got that bit right. Anyway, the point is, I think Maureen's right. I think she's, look, I'm not going to say that she's a grifter.
No.
But I think she's onto something and it's working for her. And she probably unconsciously isn't thinking about changing her behaviour. And if you bring it up, that might be the catalyst for her to do that. And if it doesn't, as Alison said, well, maybe she needs to go and find someone else to go out with.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to like carry her. Financially, it's not fair on you, and you're not an asshole at all, just to be clear. I know we said that at the top, but just to double down on that. And Maureen is right, that whole idea that if you're waiting for someone to pay you, that you're the asshole. No, I'm afraid not. Great advice, Alison, once again, and from Maureen Younger. Thank you very much for your advices. Well done.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
WTB listeners, just a little note to say, please do pre-order my special, The Optimist, which is out on the 21st of November. You can pre-order it now. It will also come with an audio version of my previous show, Underprivileged. It's through 800 Pound Gorilla, and you can get it and find out all the information in the show notes or on my website or on my Instagram or on my Facebook.
Hi, WTB listeners. I don't have a special coming out, and I'm not going on tour, at least not for the moment, due to popular demand. But I do have a book, and it's Christmas, so come on, what more could you want? It's called Prisons of My Life. It's the main character in a lot of the short stories is somebody called M. God knows who she could be. Just my vivid imagination at play again. And you can get it via Amazon. Link will be in the show notes.
Hey, UK WTB listeners. I am so excited as I am going on my very first UK tour. Take a look at my website and see when my show, Little Smith Sunshine, might be coming to you. Starting in January, February, and I'm sure I'm going to add more dates. Speaking of which, if you want me to come to you, let me know where you think I should perform next. You can get tickets at my website, www.alisonjunesmith.com, and that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Let us now look forward into the not-so-distant future, which is the present, as we speak to one and all that is listening a thing on their radio, telephone, earphones, in their kitchen, bedrooms, bathrooms, cars, about what we have been watching, and we shall impart this information so that they too can watch it.
Wow, that was very complicated.
That's probably, too much.
That intro is going to be longer than the actual section. But anyway.
I mean, way too much. Okay, Maureen, before you say what you've been watching, I wonder if you've been watching the same thing that I've been watching. Let's find out.
I don't think it's this. It's actually a documentary on BBC. Four-part documentary. Oh, no, two-part documentary. Was it four? Two-part? Anyway, I can't remember. It's various.
It's a documentary.
Actually, three parts. Three parts. Got it completely wrong. All right. It's called Julius Caesar, The Making of a Dictator. And it's...
This sounds good.
It's really good. About how he basically dismantled 5 centuries of Roman democracy in just 16 years, just because he couldn't get... He was ruthless. He was obviously very intelligent, very gifted, but he didn't care about... You know, the Roman constitution had been built, so had been written in a way to make sure that nobody could become king, that nobody could take power just by themselves. And he basically did. And it's just like you were saying about that program the other week, it just reminds you of current... of what's been going on, is that he couldn't give a shit about the rules, and he just broke them, And, you know, I remember waiting for January the 6th thinking, is Trump going to just stay in power? Is American democracy fucked? Because, you know, the people who wrote the American Constitution did exactly the same thing. They didn't want a king, and they ensured that the Constitution was written in such a way that no one man could take power. And if you'd said about 10 years ago that it would have been a possibility, you would have just been laughed at. And I remember waiting for, I was so tense before January the 6th going, is American democracy bound to go up the Swanee? Because, you know, all you need is one guy who doesn't give a fuck. I mean, admittedly, Trump is no Julius Caesar, who doesn't give a fuck, who just ignores the rules, and, you know, you basically got a dictatorship. I mean, yes, Julius Caesar was stabbed to death, so he didn't really enjoy it for very long. But, you know, that kind of triggered the emperors. And it's amazing. Yeah. And it's quite interesting because you've got not just historians talking, but you've got people like Rory Stewart, who's talking...
He's obsessed with Julius Caesar, Rory Stewart.
Yeah.
Absolutely obsessed.
Talking about, you know, because what he did was amazing, but he was so... utterly ruthless. So, like, you had two consuls who were like the main bigwigs in Roman power, and he actually had the other consul beaten up, covered in shit. I mean, this was just something that was unheard of, and just laughed about it. you know, it is quite frightening because, you know, you think also about Britain. We don't have a written constitution, as, you know, infamously.
We don't have a Bill of Rights.
Don't have a Bill of Rights. But, you know, there was always an idea, and that now you just see it with the present government, just everything being chipped away, because there's an understanding that people will behave in a certain way, yeah. that you act in a certain way, and that everything...
Well, that's the rule of law, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the idea of that.
You know, and then you just get people who will try and change the law. So you now have got coming into this country where the government can spy on people's bank accounts if they take... benefits, including pensions, which isn't a benefit, it's a right. So anyone on a pension, their bank accounts can be spied on. I mean, and it is quite scary because you just think we don't seem to learn from history. You know, if you'd said to a Roman, the idea that you'd have an emperor or you'd be ruled by emperors, they would just laughed. And then, of course, you know, Julius Caesar comes in and then it starts it all off. So it's a really interesting, so it's dramatised, then you've got people talking about everything. I'd really recommend it. It's on the BBC iPlayer.
I really want to see that. I didn't know that they had that. I think there's been parallels been made before about the way Trump is trying to dismantle democracy in the States and Julius Caesar. I think you're right. The comparisons might end there because Julius Caesar was an incredibly charismatic and
a wily politician and a general.
Yes, all of those things. And can I just also say,
he was
such a bright as well.
He was bright, but he committed so many war atrocities. Even the Romans were shocked in Gaul.
Oh,
so
wow.
You know, you're like,
that must have been
quite.
He's a psychopath, basically.
Yeah,
great. That sounds really fascinating, Maureen, and I definitely will want to watch that. I'll check that out for sure.
It's really
well
done. And
three parts is very manageable,
yes.
Isn't it? We can all agree.
Yeah.
I think all documentaries should be just three parts. What is all this 10 episodes?
And also, it's not just talking heads. I think it always helps when you've got a bit of, you know, you're watching a bit of drama. It
yes.
Makes it more palatable.
Yes. Well, it just makes it a bit more sort of, you can kind of connect to it on a... I like a little bit of soap opera because that's what a lot of that Roman history is. When you look back at it and with all the deep, you know, the backstabbing and the you know, the duplicity, you're like, well, this is like a brilliant soap opera. This is like, you know, Succession, but, you know,
and
in the
there's a
Roman
guy
times.
In there called Cato, which I kind of was thinking was, I got confused with Cassius, but who was warning against Julius Caesar and was such a...
What happened to him?
He was into the Republic, was really a man of principle. He basically stabbed himself to death and ripped out his own entrails in front of his son.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes it's good to back up your principles, isn't it? And
I mean, that is somebody who's really principled, isn't it? I was like, oh, no, I wouldn't be that principled.
But Maureen, we can't get you on a march. We're not going to be having you pulling out your entrails. Blimey, they're quite extreme, aren't they, those Romans? You know what the Italians are like. They're very emphatic people. Well, that sounds really interesting, and I'd definitely like to check that out. And I didn't know that was happening. You know, that was on. And also, I find that part of history quite fascinating. And I don't think I know that really that much about Roman history. I do. I know a certain amount of Julius Caesar just because he has this sort of mythology behind his time and the start of the emperors, and you know what his reign meant and that sort of thing. But I don't really know a great deal about what happened before. So that'd be quite interesting.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you know, his effect on modern world. I mean, we still use the calendar. The calendar was out of sync.
Yes.
And he was such a micromanager. He basically reinvented the calendar.
That's what they didn't have July.
Yeah. July is named after Julius Caesar.
Yeah. Oh,
look at that. Again, we're listening and we're learning. This is an incredible podcast. Why isn't this ever being nominated for anything?
I mean, you know, the educational purposes. Is it the Romans? Okay, Maureen, correct me. Was it the Romans? I took this in theater school. That were the overindulgers that had like the vomitorium and that?
Yeah.
Or was that the Greeks? It was the Romans that were like the party, party, party. Okay, and then the Greeks came in and were like, let's get some structure here. Let's
the Greeks were before
get
the
rid
Romans.
Of the vomitorium.
Oh, I think the Greeks did. Don't worry, they partied as well.
Vomitoriumed as well. Okay, yeah.
I don't know if they vomitoriumed, but they definitely, they weren't, they didn't, they were okay with a party, the Greeks, as far as I remember.
Okay.
I'll say as I remember. I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm not that old. Not that old.
Human behavior is cyclical. We're almost at the vomitorium stage again, everyone. I'm real excited for when that kicks in. Hey?
Oh, great.
People running out midway through the comedy shows to go puke so they can eat more. All right, actually, good times.
Do you remember Jonglers in Nottingham? I think they were very much in the vomitorium.
Portsmouth. Anyway, yeah.
That's a great recommendation. Thanks, Maureen. I will check that out, BBC. And that's presumably, I don't know where you would watch it if you don't live in the UK, but if you do live in the United Kingdom, it is on the old iPlayer. I wasn't sure if you've started watching the third series of Slow Horses.
No, because I don't have Apple TV, but I will be when I come and stay at yours.
Okay. Oh, wow. It starts with a bang.
Does it?
Yeah, because like I think the other two series were brilliant, by the way, but sort of a little bit more. They took a while to
the first episode of the first series was amazing. You know, when Heathrow, when he did a lot of running.
I know, but then it all happened that it was. It wasn't. Anyway, well, I don't want to give anything away in case you haven't been watching it. But yes, it does have that very big. But the first episode of the third series is pa-pow from the get-go. And as we are recording this, there's only 3 episodes out. I'm sure by the time this goes out, there'll be more episodes out. But we've talked about Slow Horses on this show before because Maureen and I have been watching it since the first series. And I just really, really like it so much. And I think all of the characters are brilliant. I think the writing, we talked about the writer, Will Smith, who used to be a stand-up comedian.
Excellent stand-up comedian.
It's excellent writing. And Gary Oldman is in his element. Just having the time of his life playing this old,
slob,
cynical, slobby, fingers on the pulse, finger on every pulse, spy. And yeah, it's just thoroughly enjoyable television and just compulsive. I think when you come, Maureen, you'll zip through that series.
Yeah.
Because the episodes are about 40 minutes. So they're not too long either. That is my big recommendation for this week is if you haven't started watching Slow Horses, it's worth getting Apple TV just to watch it because it's brilliant. And then do that thing where you get a month.
Free trial.
You binge it in a month and then you ditch it. You didn't hear me say that.
But I never even thought of that. I've never even had Apple TV.
Yeah, well, just do that.
Jack Loudon, who plays the young guy, is also very good in it.
Yes, he reminds me of Simon Pegg. Can't get that out of my head. A little bit.
Better looking Simon Pegg.
Okay. Well, we don't want to comment on, you know.
No offence, yes. Simon.
No offence. Yeah, because Simon will be listening to this.
We love everything that you're doing.
You never know
who's listening. Everyone's listening to something, Maureen. There's absolutely no reason why Simon Pegg wouldn't want to listen to 3. But as I'm saying this, I can see where the whole argument is falling down. So those are our recommendations. But let's go to Alison. What is on the horror menu?
Yeah. Okay. So I was thinking about money things and financial. And so I am choosing a movie, 2009. Called Drag Me to Hell. All right? I don't... Yeah. Right. But listen.
I'm Googling.
Christine Brown has a loving boyfriend and a great job at a Los Angeles bank, but her heavenly life becomes hellish when, in an effort to impress her boss, she denies an old woman's request for an extension on her home loan. In retaliation, the crone places a curse on Christine, threatening her soul with an eternal damnation. Christine seeks a psychic's help to break the curse, but the price to save her soul may be more than she can pay. I see Maureen is riveted. She's on the end of her seat. She wants to see this.
Is this a kind of like a parody?
It is a horror comedy.
Oh, it's a comedy, right? It's a horror comedy, sorry.
Absolutely, okay. A horror comedy. It is not, I'm not going to say it is, I mean, there's some jump scares. It's not too gory, but it is, the quote was, disgustingly delightful. And I agree. Alex, have you seen it? I see Alex nodding. Did you see Drag Me to Hell?
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen clips. I saw the bit with the parking garage. Oh my God, it's horrific.
It is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so good. It's just a laugh, everyone. It's ridiculous. If you want a no-brainer,
okay.
There's a lot of slapstick within it. I thought Allison does a great job of playing the character of Christine.
Okay.
Yeah, Jen, what have you looking up? I see Jen looking up. What does Rotten Tomatoes say about it?
Okay, well, I'm coming to that because I was just checking out Alison Lohman. So, it gets really good reviews. It's 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow, thank you.
Which we've all decided we're not sure if we agree with.
Yeah.
It's 4.2 on Amazon, so that's just people watching it, giving it marks out of 5. And it gets on IMDb, which is often the hardest one, it gets 6.6. So actually, it gets very good reviews. And wow, for a horror film, it didn't do badly. It made 90.8 million at the box office.
Yeah.
That's a good chunk of cash, isn't it?
Honestly, it was really well made. It was made by, who's the gentleman who did Spider-Man? So it was after Spider-Man. So he is...
Sam Raimi, yeah.
Sam Raimi, yeah. And he does a great job. The visuals of it, I mean, it's beautifully, it's so colorful and lovely. And I mean, I'm talking about a horror movie, I know, but the filming is just excellent. So I highly recommend this.
Drag Me to Hell, yeah. Which you can actually get... Oh, you won't be surprised to hear. Amazon Prime in the UK. It's to rent, though. You can't. It's not a Prime one, but you can rent it on there. Or you can rent it on YouTube, I think, as well. Yeah. So I think that's probably universal wherever you are if you want to watch that for a couple of quid. Alison, thank you very much for that recommendation. I'm not sure, because I'm sure it is a comedy horror, but it does actually look really spooky.
I mean, look, yeah, there's some spooky stuff, but there's usually a comedic element right after it. Like, yeah.
Right, just to cut the tension. Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. All right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If that's up your alley, Drag Me to Hell. Watch it wherever you get your laptop. Okay, Maureen, we're going back to you, aren't we? Because the corner has been cultured. It has been... It's
fermented?
It's rumbling, it's jumbling. it's a mish, it's a mash, it's a board, it's a schmorgas, it's a bish, it's a bash, it's a bosh. Oh dear. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Thank you, Brista. This one's going to have a bit of a Scottish flavour because John Byrne died on the 30th of November, St Andrew's Day, and he was a Scottish playwright, screenwriter, artist and designer. A lot of his paintings are based on self-portraits and portraits. He did printmaking as well as album cover designs for bands such as the Beatles.
Oh.
He also wrote the Slab Boys trilogy, which is a play which explores working class life in Scotland. I've never seen it, but that's his most well-known play. And it was about working class Glaswegian teenagers and launched the careers of several young actors, including Robbie Coltrane.
Oh.
And apparently the Broadway production, I don't think they were speaking Glaswegian, included Kevin Bacon, Sean Penn and Val Kilmer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when they were young, I mean, I don't know if they were doing the Glaswegian accents. And then, but he became really famous. And I remember this was Tutti Frutti, which was a television series.
Oh, with Robbie Coltrane.
With Robbie Coltrane and Emma Thompson. I think it was the first
and
big
Emma Thompson.
First
yes,
big
I
thing
remember.
That Emma Thompson did. And it was really,
it's
really.
Like the 80s.
Yes, it was 87. About a rock and roll band. It won 6 BAFTAs.
It was very, did so well.
Yeah,
that.
It was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And Richard Wilson was their exasperated manager, this rock band, as you can imagine. He was brilliant in the role. And then in 1990, he did a TV series called Your Cheatin' Heart, which was set in Glasgow, the country music scene in Glasgow, starring John Gordon Sinclair, Kane Stott and Tilda Swinton, who he later married. But his theatre designs included the Great Northern Welly Boot Show, which was for the Billy Connolly. In 1972.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly, if you're not British, he's one of Britain's greatest comedy stand-ups. And he also designed the show posters, which included the big pair of yellow banana boots that Connolly was famous for in the early days.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And then he became a designer for 784, which is a brilliant Scottish theatre company. And the 784, I think, stands for 7% of the British population, or 7% of the population own 84% of Scottish land.
Wow.
That's why it was called 784. It's probably now 284 or something. But it is. Anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
299,
He did the design for the, which I've talked about earlier, the Chevy at the Stag and the Black Oil, which is a fantastic political play, which starred the likes of Bill Paterson. He also adapted Gurgles, which is a great play, The Government Inspector. And yeah, a very interesting guy. And also, while we're there, I thought we should mention Alistair Gray, who wrote Lanark, which I haven't read this. It's meant to be amazing. It's a life in four books, and it's the first novel of Scottish writer Alistair Gray, written over a period of almost 30 years, and it kind of combines realist and dystopian surrealist depictions of his home city of Glasgow. And Anthony Burgess called Gray the best Scottish novelist since Walter Scott, which is quite impressive. And it's been called, this has become a cult classic, and the Guardian heralded Lanark as one of the landmarks of 20th century fiction. And I was going to suggest it for book club, but it's 592 pages. So I thought I won't.
Maybe that's...
I won't suggest it for book club.
Maureen, but that's just for you.
That's just for me, because there'd be nobody. Nobody would turn up. There would just be me talking to myself. So book club listeners, fear not. It will not be... Unless I want to finish book club once and for all, then I will make that the book of the month. And I went to buy it and I just thought, you know what, I've got a lot of books. I'll just leave it for the time being.
Oh, wow. Maureen, that's some self-restraint there.
And
wow.
I have, isn't it? I have bought about two or three books this week already. So, I mean, you know.
Okay.
Well, you are allowed to buy books.
I know, but I mean, like, they are piling up. And then just last note, talking about Scotland, Kirsty Walk has got a series on BBC Sounds called Written in Scotland. And it's a four-part series about the relationship the Scottish writers have with Scotland itself. It deals with nationalism and unionism, rural Scotland, urban Scotland, language and class. I listened to the first one, and that's mainly about Walter Scott, who, if you think of like, how foreigners think of Scotland, is basically how Scott invented Scotland. Walter Scott really reinvented Scotland for the visit of the king. And so, you know, this idea that clan tartans, it's all bollocks. There were no such thing as clan tartans. He invented that. So
before, clans didn't have a tartan?
No, you'd have a tartan, but you'd use what's locally available, wouldn't you? Whatever dyes you'd have.
So you didn't have a specific...
No, that was all bullshit.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
So he invented basically clan tartans, and then it became a thing for the, you know, the visit of the king. Then it became a thing, and then you had basically, because, you know, for years, decades, you weren't allowed to wear tartan. It was illegal in Scotland. And so, and then it became fashionable. And so you had, you know, people wrote to clan chiefs and said, oh, what's your clan tartan? And they just made stuff up. But yeah, you just use the local, whatever's local dyes, wouldn't you?
I mean, genuinely,
yeah,
that is something I did not know. Also, that trope.
Shortbread box thing of Scotland. Because when you think of Scotland, foreigners, whatever Scots like to think, what people think of the Highlands, you know, Highlander.
Someone tossing a caber in a
Jamie count. Fraser. Yeah. You know, he basically invented, he romanticised that kind of Scotland. I mean,
but that kind of Scotland wasn't...
Well,
Scotland.
I mean, for the average crofter, I mean, trying to get a life, you know, trying to live in Scotland and in the Highlands, you know, it wasn't a great life. Do you know what I mean? It was a very hard life. But that is basically, and that was Sir Walter Scott. He just kind of invented a lot of all the tropes that we think of now. And if you think of it, you know, Edinburgh Station, that is named after his debut novel, Waverley. The only station in the world that's named after a debut novel. And when you come out of Waverley, you've got the Scott Monument, which is the biggest monument in the world to a writer.
I'm going to say this guy had quite a bit of influence.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe too much. Well, that's fascinating. And so that's on BBC Sounds.
Yeah, BBC Sounds.
Which I think you can access outside of
the UK.
Yeah,
probably on the World Service. You probably can get it on the World Service.
I bet you can get it on the World Service. And a lot of BBC Sounds shows are now actually available on other places where you can get podcasts. But yes, check that out. That sounds fantastic.
Hearing you talk of that reminded me of Rob Roy. Rob Roy. Did you see that movie, guys?
Yes, but he wrote the book Rob Roy. And actually, I've read it. The lead, one of the woman in it is amazing. She's a really strong, fantastic character. And actually, Rob Roy doesn't really appear in the novel. It's interesting. I was reading it and I thought, have I downloaded the wrong novel? Because he doesn't really appear in it. And the Highlanders in that are basically a bunch of thieves, which is what Lowlanders considered the Highlanders anyway. I mean, they don't come out very well in this. But yeah, he actually wrote the book, Rob Roy.
I loved the film. Liam Neeson was excellent.
Liam Neeson. Yes, you're
come on. What's under that kilt? Yeah, put it in my silk
Scott,
purse. Yeah. I loved that movie. That's what I remember from the movie. They call it a silk purse.
Yeah. Alison, I love that. That's your takeaway from that historical film. Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner, and Alison for your silk purse reference.
You're welcome.
I don't think we should have another episode of WTB without some sort of call back to a silk purse.
I should rather wear my silk purse. Yeah.
It's near the end of the show, but it's not the end of the show.
No, it is not the end of the show, because we've learned a lot. We've discussed silk purses. We have talked about our weeks. But let's get to the important things. The important things are, what the hell has been getting under our anger levels?
This week.
I tried that. This week. Jen, what's getting your goat?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Don't worry, Alison. You are normally tippity-top at the intro. I have dropped the ball for weeks now, and you've both let it pass. So barb it from me. So tell me if you feel the same about this, both of you.
Okay.
But I feel like we just had Christmas. Does anyone else? I feel like, yeah, we just did Christmas. Why are we doing it again? I mean, this whole thing of doing it every year. Here's my pitch. Come with me. Yeah. My children will not approve of this pitch.
No, they're going to say no.
Come with me now. Christmas is happening too often. We don't need it every year. It's a burden. It's a stress. It's a drain. The joy has gone. We need to start doing Christmas like it's a leap year.
No.
No, really, let's make an occasion of it.
No.
Every 4 years, we can have a big old party. You can have that time to save up, particularly if you've got kids and you're, you know, strapped for cash. You have a bit of a run up to it. You don't have to see the in-laws every year. You don't have to go out and travel around the country to see various people that you don't particularly want to see, but it's kind of feels like an obligation. And yeah, and then that fourth year, you're like, oh, do you know what? I'm really looking forward to Christmas. That's my pitch. And if I was going to become a Julius Caesar figure, which is obviously the next stage after becoming a very successful stand-up comedian, as we all know that I am, is to move forward into some form of fascistic dictatorship where I oppress people's love of Christmas with my own humbug by insisting every 4 years.
Okay, well, my first thoughts are financially, I think that's good for everyone. I do think it would make us appreciate Christmas more. I see the theory. I still think, though, given our consumer market, you know what's going to happen? It'll not be Christmas. It'll be year two leading up to Christmas. Don't forget to get your year two leading up to Christmas presents. I feel society will still shove some sort of celebratory buy shit down our throats. Yeah,
I feel you. I mean, I don't think I've got much traction with this.
So. I mean, the Puritans banned it, didn't they? You didn't have Christmas while the Puritans were in power.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm not a Puritan, Maureen. As you know, I am fun times. That's what everyone says about me. Look at Jen. She's so laid back and fun. Oh, I'd love to hang out with her more.
That's people who don't know you, Jen.
She looks like such a laugh. And then they spend more than 15 minutes with me and they go,
got that wrong.
I've tapped out. Got that wrong.
I think, you know what? Run it past your kids first and see what they think.
Oh, I can't run it past them. I don't ask my children's opinion about anything. I just tell them what we're doing. Here's the thing. I just think the years are getting shorter as I get older. And I think that's just part of staying alive, isn't it? It just seems to happen so quick. The years seem to shrink.
Yeah.
That's what's getting my goat.
I agree with
you. I'm going to be dead soon. What's going on?
I've still got cheese from last Christmas in my freezer back in the UK because I freeze cheese. I do freeze cheese. You can freeze it, everyone.
Can you freeze cheese?
Yes, you 100%. Because
for that long?
Well, I mean, probably not, Maureen. That's what I'm saying. You know, but I've still got it in my freezer.
I mean, to be fair, Chloe would eat it because Chloe doesn't believe in throwing stuff out. So
I know, but I would throw that out. You can't have cheese in a freezer for a year.
Is Chloe one of those? Is Chloe a ration book girl? She's like,
oh my God, yes.
We're getting to rows at the moment because we're not allowed to put the heating on until after 6:30 p.m. It's an absolute nightmare. The house is like an absolute ice bucket. A bucket of ice. An iceberg. Maureen, you're laughing now. Wait till Christmas and you're freezing your tits off. And you're like, sorry.
Do you know what? My heating's not on. It's not that cold.
Yeah, but you've got a lovely warm flat.
I do have a warm flat.
Your flat is always warm.
I'm at my parents' house, so I've cracked up that shit like nobody's business. I'm like, I'm home. See you guys later. Here's the bill for my love. It's in a heating bill.
That's me. When Chloe's not around. Beep, 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 beep. We've got like a little fire in the living room.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice, that little fire.
That goes on when she's not there. Then I have to switch it off. Sometimes she walks towards it and goes, has this been on?
I feel warmth. Yeah. Did you turn on the fire when it was
there? I say something like, I switched it on very briefly because I just had to dry off some, and then I make up something random. And she's like, oh, yeah, did you? I was like, yeah.
It's cheaper than the dryer.
We don't have a dryer. This is the thing. If I want to dry some clothes and the radiators aren't on, this whole house is like, I'm surprised we haven't got mushrooms growing on the wall. Anyway. Look, that's what's been getting my goat. In fact, there's two things there. The fact that the years are short.
And you can't put the heat on.
I can't put the bloody heat on in winter. It's December for crying out loud. But other than that, Zen Jen has returned. She briefly left us there, but I'm back again. And really looking forward to some Christmas cheer.
With me.
Yeah. I like the way Alison's just making a sort
drinking
of sign of
Christmas cheer. Yeah.
Look, Maureen, we've got 6 bottles of Baileys in preparation for your arrival.
Ooh. What's everyone else drinking?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, clearly not Baileys. Anyway, Merry Christmas. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.